Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Indie Review Behind the Scenes, guys. This is the weekend edition, and I am Michelle Cornwell Jordan. I'm one of your hosts, and my co-host, Jamie White, is joining me as well. Jamie, how are you on this happy Friday?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty awesome, actually. It was a good day, and I love the snap in the air. Fall's coming, so I'm good. It's a full moon,
I know
too.
Nothing of this fall-like change that you speak of.
Yes. My Southern States sisters understand because I lived in Florida for a while, you know, and you don't see the change. And
yeah.
You don't normally hear in Texas either. I mean, it was fall today, but it may be 102 tomorrow. So we take it and we enjoy it while we can. So, but I grew up in North Carolina where, oh my gosh, you could set a clock to everything. You know, in October,
yeah.
the leaves change, you wear jackets, and, you know, there were seasons. So it's been difficult.
Right.
Yeah. But I love it. And it's a full moon. So I'm a little bit crazier than normal. So, you know, it's good.
So that explains that message you sent me earlier.
Yes. Let's blame it on the
full
moon. Always and forever. I know. See,
so
I beta read for
one.
I think you even mentioned one or two. I'm like, what craziness is this? I don't understand. I don't understand what that was about. See, I beta read for those that are new to the show, and beta read if you're unfamiliar with the term, because I didn't know that term for at least 2 years. Being out here in the writing community, it just means one of the first readers. You know, just seeing how the story flows. You know what readers can expect. The guinea pig. Yes. Yes, and then I heard alpha reader. I didn't even know what that was. I just heard of that like a couple of weeks ago. But I'm a beta read, and so I've been beta reading several of the books in the Lightworker series, which I love. I love that series, and it has truly grown and developed, and it has all these complex layers now. And I really look at it as a treat because Jamie will send a couple at a time. And I guess I should stop here and say, for those of you that are normally with us
I'm going to pause for a second.
For those of you that are new, that normally are with us on the weekend edition, you're used to another guest. Well, today this is going to be one of those random In the Mind of a Writer show. So I love these shows. I do, because we have no idea what's going to come out and nothing scripted. I hope you enjoy it. But back to what I was saying. And normally Jamie would send me three at a time. And so today, I don't know what, it had to be the full moon affecting her or something. She said, oh, well, you know, I don't want to overload you. I'll send you one or two. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, why are we subtracting from my supply? It's like, she's like, my pusher or something.
I told Kitty what you said to me. And he's like, well, come on, you're being like a dealer here. You're like giving her all this,
yes.
And then you're like cutting back on her. I'm like,
yes.
I didn't mean it.
I'm like, I don't know what that craziness is. You just can't, oh, I'll give you one or two. No. So that's what she was talking about. And, you know, I felt, you know, I was like, oh, no, that's crazy. But anyway. She promised me my three.
In trouble. I don't mean to, but
happens. Yeah, it happens. That's when the story is really, really good, and that's a good thing. When you can make your beta readers upset, then you are doing something right. I, that's what I always say. So.
Or maybe not.
Anyway,
yeah, sending as many. Yeah.
Definitely. I think we're carrying over tonight. Last night we had on CS. Culture Shock, we chatted a lot about what writers think. It was just so crazy.
Always.
And so we're carrying it today.
It is fun.
It is. I think it is. I think it's great to just be random sometimes. And I've been random
all
day.
I think it's...
I really have.
Yeah, I think it's partially writer brain anyway, like that whole thing. But it's also probably partially due to the fact that writers, we tend to, really get the, sugar and the caffeine and whatnot going really hard. So that probably
doesn't
help us at all.
Well, they used to call it spastic when I was little, just kind of, just woo, like ADHD, I don't know, just woo.
There you go.
And I think writers, we do tend to, one, we live in our heads a lot, and then... So we're interacting with the world in our mind, the world we want to write, and the world we should be writing. We have all these projects going on in our head. So I think I read one time this book called Writing Down the Bones. It was an awesome book for writers. And this was back about, oh, gosh, like 20 years ago. I forgot the name of the author. But it was before the NaNoWriMo, which I'm going to bring up. And it was just talking about getting the paper, getting the words on the paper, sousing in that inner editor, because that really held me prisoner for like 10 or 15 years. I couldn't even write because I was like, oh, this stuff is terrible. Get past that. It was talking about all of that. But it was also talking about the voices in the head. And they, I think the writer made a quote that writers are the only ones that can – be schizophrenic, just all these different personalities and no one blinks an eye. And it's just the writer's complex, and I think it's okay, and other writers understand.
When we
say a character is talking to us, or not in Jamie's case, because she's, being very cruel to her.
She did start talking again, though. She has started talking.
Not really to you, but to the other characters.
Well, see, she has to be talking to me, though, for me to know what she's doing right now.
Well, you're just...
There you go. But see, the thing is, though, she still will not tell me. I mean, she's back in the mix and everything, but she still will not tell me. Still will not tell me what she was doing while she was gone. She still will not tell me that.
It's like a black hole. What was she up to? She was on a secret mission, and that's really secret when the author doesn't know fully. But it'll come. It'll come. So we can't say too much because it'll be a spoiler for you guys.
I'm just gonna say something real quick right now. I'm just gonna say one thing to you right now, Michelle.
Yes.
After this is done, message CP and ask him what he was doing when you were just like, you know, when we were just talking about that. And I was like saying, you know, well, she won't tell me what she was doing when she was gone. It's like, just message CP and ask him what he was doing just now.
Oh, my goodness. So he's stirring up trouble, guys. CP is author CP Paul Lewis. Very prolific writer, counterpart to the wonderful JP, awesome epic fantasy horror writer, and he constantly draws Jamie to the dark side. So what we're gonna see, I'm gonna do you one better. I am not going to message CP. I am going to call CP. Yes.
Uh oh, you're about to.
Yes.
Trouble. Oh, dear.
Dun, 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 dun. Let me see. Let's see what is on. Let me just get the phone number in there before I continue to talk on my little smack talk. All right. The phone is dialing. We're going to see what was going
dear.
On with CP by Lois.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Is it ringing? Oh, my God, it's not ringing.
There
you go. There
it goes.
What's happening?
Hello?
Hello, is this CP?
Yes,
CP,
how you doing, Michelle?
Oh, no,
recognize your voice.
How you doing, CP? So,
pretty good.
You are on the weekend edition.
I have a feeling I'm in trouble for something. I can't. A little birdie to mention that.
Yes,
what
I was
birdie?
Told
you were sitting right here. I'm like looking at you right now. What little birdie?
I was trying to be subtle.
She just,
sorry.
No, she just messed it up.
I wasn't trying to give out the rat named Jamie away. You know, I like
know.
To point fingers at her or anything.
Wow. So what was happening? We were all chatting and talking about the writer's mind. What was going on, CP?
Well, I've been pushing for a certain little story arc for Courtney to be up to while she's away. And Jimmy's been resisting it. I remember a little poem I came up with before?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's sort of along those lines.
Oh,
except
no.
Except I put a little twist on there, which... She's fighting me on. I mean, I could be mean and spoil it all right now, or I could let it sit there and keep working on it so it could be a surprise if she does put it in.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing it.
You're not going to do it.
She says that
right?
Now.
It's just messing with my book boyfriend.
I have a couple glorious ideas in mind of, you know, how she could end her series there and everything, and she's fighting it tooth and nail. I'm here like, I put that girl through enough. I'm like, oh, no, there is never enough.
Fight it, Jamie. Don't.
I feel like there's
good.
Like a devil on one side of my, on one shoulder and an angel on the other, and they're like both fighting for my soul right now.
Hey, I'm just
and
saying, twins can get mixed up.
Just fight it. But CP, I've heard that you have a new release, correct? Tomorrow, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yep, tomorrow the Fifth Sword and Flame, the full Fifth Sword and Flame book, The Rebirth, will be coming out.
OMG. Very cool. Congratulations. Now,
thank you.
For those that are new, how about you, you know, chat with us about what the series is about. You know, lead us to this release.
Okay, this could be an interesting discussion here.
It's like, how much time you got here? How about in a nutshell?
Well, it's basically, it's epic fantasy, and I like doing coming-of-age stories. Now, the first two books in the series followed the main character, Barrett Blossom, as he, you know, found himself and discovered his power and his destiny. And since then, the last, you know, three books, it's going to be four books. I'm writing the sixth book now, and it may even split into a seventh book, which was really supposed to be a single one, but that ended up taking life on its own. And in the, you know, as the gods kind of got more involved with the people on Pyrene, and now it's branched into where Barrick's time's kind of passed. Now it's working more another character, Rey Venata, as she, you know, finds her destiny. Like, each book, the title of the book's basically, in a nutshell, what each one is about. Like, the first one's a forging, you know, where, you know, Barrack is basically being molded into a weapon. And the purge,
wow.
And the final one is where he cleans out part of what he has to do. And he fully ascends. He's like, you know, like cleaning impurities out of a sword when you're crafting it, and it becomes finally honed, he expels it. The Lightwalker was about his uncle Gilliam, as he was chosen to, you know, to defeat a fallen god that was supposed to be coming back. He alone had the power to banish it, or so they thought. The Dragon Master is actually Barrack's daughter, who then is, you know, there's only one dragon orb left that all the dragons can be controlled through, but it's broken. Her job is to, you know, to heal it and become the Master of Dragons and wakes them up to return magic to Pyre. To return immortal magic to Pyre. The fifth book, The Rebirth, you know, Rey Venata was introduced in the Dragon Master, and in the fifth one, The Rebirth, is where she's actually becoming like an outlet for Barrack. You know, he's an ascended god, and she's, and Rebirth is basically what she calls it, rebirthing. Like, she can actually heal people, but it's not like with cleric healing, or it's not like magical healing, it's rebirthing. Like, you know, because Barrack is a god of the phoenix, so she's kind of reborning, you know, like being reborn.
Cool.
So it's her continued growth as she's, you know, going through stumbling along, trying to find her destiny, to try to fulfill it, and come to grips with what she has. She's not the, like most people, she's flawed. I mean, she's an extreme klutz. She's young. She's like 15, 16. She's a princess that was kidnapped by goblins initially, was freed, and she discovered a war between her father's kingdom, or an upcoming war between her father's kingdom that they were planning, and the other kingdom of Salava, the giant kingdom from the first two books. So she's trying to help prevent that. She's trying to come to terms with what she has to do. And her abilities on the way, she's losing friends that kind of helps galvanize her. So it should come to a head in the one I'm doing now, the sixth book, The Chosen, that I'm writing.
Right.
As the repost is based on that, then Chosen, most of it should come to a head in there. I did a quick bullet point a few weeks ago, I think about 190 pages into it writing. I did bullet points of what I want to accomplish yet, and it was like two full pages. So I may have to use the seventh book. If I do,
oh,
I already have a name for that one. You know, the name's going to be The Conquered. You know, so that'd be the seventh one. If I have to go that far, I want to write the whole thing out, see how big it is, because when I did the first two books, originally there were one standalone that was divided into three parts. But if it was 1,000 pages when it was formatted, it was too big, so I cut it in half, and I got the purging and the forging. The forging and the purging.
Yeah. Yeah, he saw that. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to get shot if I put out 1,000 pages. I mean, people are not going to be happy about that.
And the thing was,
go ahead.
Yeah, it was only like 140,000 words. I mean, I see epic fantasy novels up to 150,000 or 60,000, but as soon as people heard the page count, they seemed to panic. Like, oh, that's too big to write. But you're reading 160,000 words. Yeah, but 1,000 pages, that's too much. I'm like, kind of. Okay, and I just picked a spot and I cut it in half. Like I said, in this one, I know where I can stop if I want to or if I need to. I just like to keep them both roughly the same size. I don't want to have, like, say, one, say, like, 90,000, and then the other one, 30,000. And I just don't want it. It's just out of proportion for me. I at least want to keep it within 10,000 of each other if I can. You know, so I'm hoping it's going to be six books, but it may be seven, depending on how it all works out, how, you know, basically how much I actually put into it, because as I'm transcribing now to get ready for NaNoWriMo to finish it up then. And I only have, like, 60 pages to go, less than 60 pages to type. And I'm having to rewrite a lot of it right now, like smoothing out some plot holes I had, some issues, because I added some things later on when I was writing that would have extended it. Not including some of those out, it may not be extended, so again, I'll have to wait and see. Yeah, like right now, like I said, in the Reaper, though, I mean, like Ray, she picks up, you know, more companions. I love, you know, Greek mythology. So, like, the underworld they have there, the abyss, is basically divided into three, like in Greek mythology. She comes across centaurs. You know, I have minotaurs in there. You know, all their different races, all the different things. Like, the centaurs for me are kind of based on Native Americans. You know, the whole type of thing that they have their tribe, like their clan. You know, the minotaurs are basically their, for lack of a better phrase, they're almost like beast-like, you know, Vikings in a way where, like, for them to vote, they basically stand there and keep punching each other until the last one's standing, and that's how they decide who won. you know, it's kind of like a Vikingish type of,
sounds,
you know,
like this election.
Animalistic society. Like, you know, yeah, it's like a pure warrior mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So I introduced a bunch of those in there. I said the centaur becomes actually Rey's best friend and confidant in the throughout the rebirth. I also explored the Dwarven Kingdoms. I only touched on the first couple books.
Yeah.
Bring out some secrets in that one. And one kingdom actually does have some, you know, perils coming its way, but, you know, I'm not going to say more than that. I'll let that for the book, anyone who gets the book to decide and to find out about. But, you know, like I said, I did want to flesh out some more areas in there, some more characters, and I keep adding characters. That's why it keeps going so long.
Wow. So you're looking at
that
maybe, possibly a seventh.
Yeah.
Right?
Like I said, I already have a name for it, but I hope. Maybe. I never say never. Because, like I said, the first one was supposed to be a single book, became two books. I wasn't going to write anymore, and one day the muse just started chirping again.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea I had that time was supposed to be one novel, and that was it. Well, that's going into four novels and possibly five. It's actually really extended itself.
Nice.
It's like, I mean, and yeah, they're all like 80,000 words or so. I mean, it's like, you know, they're not short, and I'm sure there'll be people out there that could sit there and take them and, you know, whack them down to one or two novels. Because I just have, like, a really methodical approach. I like, okay, you're doing, okay, this is like going to take place over a week. So it's like almost a day. Okay, the time frames have to match up. Like, okay, they're doing this in the morning, then they're doing this in the afternoon, then this at night. You know, a couple times I might skip a couple days, but generally it's, you know, it's very methodical, very, you know, in line, in linear style. So it does add some more for me. I do that for the characters, just add more character depth. I just have some more fun with them, because some of them I just love so much, like the one halfling Janessa. You know, I mean, they're just fun to write. Like her, Gilliam, you know, Galen the dwarf, and they're just fun to write. They all have attitudes. You know, so I just enjoy them. So I do keep it going. I let them kind of just tell their story. You know, and it's like, and I, you know, yeah, some people that think, oh yeah, they're too long. It's this, it's that. And then there's others that, you know, that seem to like them. So okay, you know, whatever works for them, it's great. You know,
they're like the little trolls, right? There, you got to troll
dwarfs?
People. The dwarfs.
Well, yeah, dwarves. Yeah, they're not really trolls. excuse me. If you ever saw The Lord of the Rings, they had Gimli.
Right.
You know, something like that. They're about 4 feet tall, 4 to 5 feet tall, you know, bulky
uh-huh.
guys, long beards. You could call them trolls, but they're not really trolls. Technically, if you want to get in the fantastical sense, trolls are much larger and really bestial type of creatures. They can basically crush you out like a grape type of thing. You know, dwarves, they're usually as strong, maybe a little stronger than the average person. They're about a foot or so shorter and stockier, and they mainly live underground. You know, for me, they're
It sounds like me. Yeah. It sounds like me. It really does.
Oh.
I'm 4 feet. I stay inside. I mean, okay. I have a question.
Ready?
I have a lot of questions. Actually. One is more of like a technical thing. What do you write? I mean, seriously. I mean, I know you do like 24-hour challenges and things like that, but, you know, when do you write?
Yeah, you know, really the best is just whenever I can.
Okay.
Just because my networking in the morning usually takes a couple hours, but
right.
usually I get up there for like 4 or 5 hours, so I'm pretty much half conscious. I tend to like kind of lay back and conk out for another hour or so. And
right.
it's like I try to write, but when I do write, I usually do it in the afternoon or even the evening. At night, somewhere around the usually like later half of the day, you know, because it's like in the morning. I really, like I said, morning's more or less for me networking, getting things set up, you know, just doing some, you know, just some mindless fun things on Facebook, whatever. Play a couple games, watch a little TV, just kind of get this day started. Then usually about maybe early mid afternoon is usually when I like to get started writing, if I can, you know, either here or if you have to go to the library or whatnot. That for me, that's usually the best time. You know, just kind of, I like the morning, but yeah, it just happened to work out that way. Just the way I do my work, networking is in the morning, the afternoon, and evenings when I usually do any writing.
Wow. And I say that because to write is such a huge amount. I feel like I would never be able to sleep. I would always be writing. but I think that it's really, really cool. Now, you have such a fun world, you know, with the centaurs and you got the dwarves and you got all these fun, just different, you know, when you were talking in my head, I was imagining just this world. Now, Jamie, this is for you. You've read the story. What would you want to be? Like, I would want to be a dwarf in CP's world. You know, they're the ones with the attitudes, right? I want to be a dwarf, you know, maybe. You know, with the glasses and everything. But what would you be? I mean, I think it's fun.
I kind of like his halflings.
Oh, what are they? Which are the halflings? I knew the halflings.
Yeah, they're extremely playful. Yeah, they're like miniature humans, about 3 feet tall. They look exactly human, but they're shrunken down. And for me, they're basically thieving. Yeah, thieving is a lifestyle for them. You know, it's like some try to do other things, but they're kind of outcasts. You know, they're born to be thieves. You know, no one notices them. They're almost like looked at as a, you know, as a freak, as rats. You know, they're basically like vermin to everyone else. No one can stand them because they're always in the way. They sit there like, oh, that was kind of a cool thing. How about doing it? You know, because for me, I actually based them in the original first six in the first two books. The main characters were parts of my personality, and for me, the halflings were actually like the never-ending youth, the innocents. Like, no matter what can happen, something can happen, they break down crying, they're almost broken, but then, like, the next day, it's like, okay, they're up again, they're happy, they're bubbly, they're just in all the world around them. You know, they want to experience new things, they want to have fun. You know, so that's kind of how I look at it for them.
Fun.
So that was my little balance. It's also my excuse to get the little child out and play. And I've had a few people tell me, like, they love Janessa, that's their favorite character. You know, she can be a handful for some. Like, so her and Galen, it's a love-hate relationship. They like each other, but they also drive each other nuts. Galen and the dwarf, like, in the second book, going through an underground tunnel, and he got stuck in his one entrance. And they're trying to pull him through. His boat got hooked on a rock. And he finally got the rock to slot and pulled him through. He's like, see, 260, not a pound over 260, kind of back in his stomach. And she's like, oh, if you beat 250, you wouldn't have gotten caught. Just something like this, like real offhand kind of, there's no menace in it. It's all just kind of, you know, lighthearted way, like, you know, just like joking around, like, you know, she sits on a rock and falls backwards. Everyone else hears a loud squeak. They're like, you know, just going back to kind of accidentally find things just through adventuring and coming across it.
That is so cool. So, Jamie, you're going to be a halfling. And I think that's fun. I think it sounds fun. I mean, I know there's an adventure. I know there's, you know, they've got the serious quests and they've got the things they're doing. But your world is just so rich. And I mean, you've been writing. How long have you been writing this series?
A couple of years. Yeah. It's been like since my second book ever came out. So since about 2010, 2011.
So this world is, excuse the pun, epic. I mean, right? I mean, it's how do you now? I would assume you know it almost as much as you do reality. But what was one of the biggest challenges for you in creating your world?
Really, just actually the continuity between the characters. You know, because there was one in the Lightwalker. I basically introduced a character, just a guard named Jargon. I can make him any, he's Jargon or Jurgen. You know, so I had like two names, I think I had a third name throughout the manuscript for a long time. I eventually introduced an elf that was a bounty hunter named Sana, and she used a crossbow, like a hand crossbow, like a small, like almost pistol type of thing. You know, so little instances, like some mannerisms, like, and I thought for me, whatever reason, the biggest problem is keeping in mind what weapons they have. That's always been the hardest thing. Like Gilliam as a cleric, you know, he used a mace. He's based on the middle, you know, the clerics in there are based on, there's light clerics and dark clerics, they're based on the medieval church, you know, where the friars, and they couldn't use edge weapons. They had to use clubs, they had to use slings, you know, so it's like, so they bludgeon you to death, but they wouldn't cut you. You know, it's just how it was. So you have to defend themselves, you know, so it's, so I kind of go back and forth, and so each one has different weapons, and for me, it almost comes from her personality and the weapons. Like, Janessa really doesn't carry, she has a knife that's basically it. You know, that she really doesn't carry too many weapons, she uses what she can, you know, she relies more on her wit and her quick feet. You know, Viola's a magic user, she does, you know, they don't carry edge weapons, she just, you know, uses her magic to blast everybody she can. And she does have disposition to want to blast people half the time. You know, Galen, he was a... like a metal tinker, did a lot of metallurgy and, you know, made like wristbands and, you know, sort of trinkets. So he just actually had a little hammer, and that was just his. Instead of using a war hammer, he just had like a normal hammer that he basically used to bludgeon people if they get in a battle. So like each one had different, you know, different weapons. I try to look at it. Okay, what would they carry? What haven't I used yet? What would be kind of cool? You know, so I give them all the different little things like that to see how it would work out. And it actually, for the most part, it's matched their personalities. And for me, that's been the hardest thing, because I'll get in the character. And, like, just in this one, I went down back there, and I realized that at one point I gave Rey a bow. I forgot I gave her a bow and arrow. I forgot all about that. She had a dagger, and she had a knife, and she ran across a wood nymph at one point, and the wood nymph basically killed by, they have these little, like, wooden needles they inject into people and basically kills their brain, puts them, like, in a slumber.
Wow.
Until they can come back, and when you pull it out, then the person dies. They basically live in a catatonic state, because as nymphs go, they want to feast on the people. And they want to draw their energy out, so when you pull it out, then the person dies. So she has that and the knife. But then, then I forgot I gave her a bow. I just saw that yesterday. I'm like, oops, well, that's changing that part later on. So the whole section I had there, it's got to be rewritten later on then, because I forgot all about the bow. And just for me, that's just been the hardest thing, just keeping them consistent, keeping the mannerisms consistent, and, the weapons. Like I said, the first six were easy. Just as I added more on, it's trying to keep them a little unique, and I just give them something new. So I try to vary the weapons, because just give them their own unique personality.
Do you, and I like how you put that, to bring a variation, and after writing, the series for a while, do you find it a challenge trying to, coming up with new ideas as far as battles or enemies or things like that? Do you find it difficult, or does it pretty much just come to you, pretty easily?
Well, usually to find the enemies isn't really too hard. I mean, the literature is everywhere. It's like littered with so many, you can just pretty much just find them anywhere. And they're almost always kind of beasts, this and that. But it's like, for me, the hardest part is just like the stories, like what to do with them. Because I can seriously just sit there and I can write a novella, which is a couple of characters sitting there talking to each other, like in a bar, like in a tavern or something.
Mm-hmm.
I can just do like a 30, 40 page novella just like that without a problem, because, the characters are so easy to come. They just start, talking, and it's, the hell, if I want to stop them, it's like, oh, hell no, we're going. It's like, if you big guy, we're doing, this is what we're doing here. They keep going, I have to rein them in some, but yeah, bad guys, I've actually made it a point in mind, for whatever reason, I never liked the idea, just because, say, the Minotaur, they're not always bad guys, Centaurs aren't always bad guys type of thing. So I actually, made a point of actually pointing out that not all of the beasts, as they're called, are evil. Goblins,
okay.
The goblins are evil, but then they're not. Galen actually comes across one who I couldn't think of a name for him, and it drove me nuts, so I actually named him P-H-U-C-K. Just because I was so, I could not think of a damn name. I changed to P-H-O-O-K. Because I was so pissed off, I could not think of a good goblin name, so I just I'm doing this way, P-H-U-C-K. Every time it came up, I'm like, that was just my
That's
little, and
funny.
I was going to leave it in there. I'm like, I was going to maybe put another U in there for a fook. And so I'm like, I'll do a difference. I did fook as in F-P-H-O-O-K. So I just changed it that way because, Jamie was giving me a little grief. You can't put that in your book. Why not? It's not F-dash-dash-dash. It's a totally different thing. But that was just my frustration to coming up with names, because a lot of times names would come to me, but for whatever reason, that one did not want to come. dwarves and goblins are ancient foes, but in that, Galen and him actually kind of find a common ground at one point. So I like to take things and turn them on their ear a little bit, explore different variations. Like I said, look at them, they're all different civilizations, they're all different peoples. And as you have just even here with us, you have different understandings. Like I said, we'll look at the British one way, they'll look at us another way, we'll look at the French, the Spanish, whatever, we'll look at everyone different ways. So it's all those little misunderstandings. You'll either get it or you won't. Some are easier to talk to. Like I said, if you walk up to a Minotaur, it'd happily just knock you out. They're just very aggressive. They'll knock you out and kill you as soon as look at you. The same with a goblin or anything like that. But if you can somehow win their respect, by being a great warrior or being able to stand up or take a punch or whatever, they're like, okay. Now it's like, okay, I can work, I can work with this. Okay, I'll listen to you now. I can consider you a friend now. It's like,
that's
kind of like, I kind of like playing with different things like that. Like I said, different civilizations, see how it works out.
So your stories are very character driven, versus plot driven. Do you normally use more of the characters that are traditional? When I say traditional, that are known, or do you ever create your own character? Piggly Wiggly, or what I mean? Do you ever just create one that doesn't exist?
If I do that, it's usually like more of a natural creature, like say just in a forest, like say some like a vine type of snake, you know, like a tree vine that actually hunts animals like a snake would. You know, I'll come up with things like that. You know, but usually I'll stick to normal characters because pretty much any fantasy book you put, whether it's Tolkien on down, you'll have dwarves and elves. So it's like, okay, those are basic archetypes. But I like putting my own twist on. Like I said, I usually try to base them on like different different civilizations or different aspects. Like I sit there, it's like for myself, like the elves and the dwarves are friends, but they don't like anyone else. Usually, elves and dwarves hate each other. You know, it's like, you know, like what was it? Like they said, like the Minotaur are very aggressive. They're kind of a near thing, but if they decide to wage war, there's basically no force in the world that can stop them. I mean, in one book, they just threw through the one kingdom in days. You know, destroying everything they touch. It is such, you know, they move so fast, they're so huge and powerful, they can just walk right through it. You know, like the Cyclops are kind of like the, almost like the old sages. You know, so it's, I did like an Odin on them, like they gave up their one eye for knowledge, so they can see the future, but as long as they follow, as far as they follow the path they're assigned, they're fine. If they violate that path or whatever, or break their own destiny, then they're going to die a very horrible death they won't see coming. You know, then they're totally cut off, and they don't see the future anymore. It's kind of the whole thing. It was kind of like an Odin thing where it's like, okay, when he plucked his eye out, they did the same thing. They wanted magical powers. The top god didn't want to give them. He was pissed off because he made them the epitome. So he took their eye for it and gave them sight, but then if they choose not to follow the destiny, they lose their sight. You know, they're basically walking blind then. So it's almost like going from sighted to totally blind because you go from knowing everything to knowing nothing. You know, I just like tapping into different little things like that. You know, it's, you know, I like expanding. I like having the, you know, this is characters tell me their story. What, you know, how they react here? What are they gonna do there? It's like what works for this and what works for that one. You know, it's fun. I actually have one in the book I'm reading now, in The Chosen. It's actually a two-eyed Cyclops. He's half human, half Cyclops, but he's born with two eyes, but he can somewhat still see the future. And he's antagonizing two of the main characters. The one says, "Oh, you'll kill me when I betray you." You know, but it's not yet though. You'll know when. You know, just some, you know, maybe with them. Another one, the other one, he'll sit there and say, "Oh, you think you know the answer? You know, the answer, my sanctimonious friend." You know, just real condescending, little tags like that, like just to really put the person down. Just to, you know, the guy, for lack of a better term, he's a complete dick. You know, just there's no other way to put it. You know, it's like he's sitting there, he's going with him, and the adventure goes. You know, they sit there. It's like when something happens, you look at him. Is this your fault? Oh no, not yet. Someone else has betrayed you. You just have to figure out who it is. You just kind of sit there and laugh. And, you know, then they think they figured it out to do something. He just kind of, like, falls over laughing. He's like, good guess, but no, wrong. You know, I little personality just put in there just to mess with it. Because this book, I wanted to, because I kind of got darker from the third through the fifth book. I kind of went my Game of Thrones, Robert E. Howard phase, reading Conan and everything. So I wanted to get a little more lighter so that the sixth book is a little more lighthearted like the first two. I mean, there are still some dark parts in there, but it's still a lot. It's like the rebirth was kind of edging towards that. Because I always said, I never wanted to have the gods interfere. I didn't want to be where, oh, the gods inside this, gods inside that. Well, White Walker, Dragon Master Rebirth, the gods were meddling. So at the end of Rebirth, it kind of ended there. It's like, you know, so I stopped it there. You know, so it's going back to more, okay, we're doing this to ourselves now type of thing.
Very cool. You know, it just sounds so cool. I can understand why you don't want to leave this world. And what is going to happen? Seriously, I am serious. What when it's done? I mean, are you preparing yourself? I mean, what's next? Do you have something in mind, another series or?
Well, I keep having different ideas of what I want to do in other fantasy ones. I did try an elemental one a year or so ago. That kind of tailed off. That's, again, on my agenda at a later point. This one, because this one, I do have elementals in this one. I just don't call them that. For either the nymphs. Like air nymphs, wood nymphs, earth nymphs, water nymphs. You know, but I haven't touched any earth or the water nymphs yet. So I can still keep going. I mean, I know when I end it, I'm going to get so many people pissed at me because the ending I have in mind, it's not going to be a cliffhanger or anything like that. The whole, when I do get to the end, what I'm planning on, it'll be over, but it'll leave it open where, okay, it can't come back into this. So if the music starts start chirping again, it can't come back. I might even, talk to some, you know, people I know, other friends, that authors, that they want to actually write in this universe, and they can do that.
Wow,
you know, so kind of, Yeah, they can do it on other adaptations. Like they will hammer. Yeah, like they will, you know, hammer out the storylines that they want. They can do a separate one, like a different part of the world if they want to. You know, so it's. So I'm kicking around different things to do because as much as I love it, I also kind of want it to be over because it's one of those things that's like, it just never leaves. You know, like each book takes me like now about a year or so to work on because I work so long in it, then I kind of hit an impasse or I just kind of sit there like, you know, I think actually like I burned myself out about 6 months ago fantasy. So I'm like, okay. I turn to sci-fi, turn to historical books, stuff like that. So it's like I kind of have to take breaks from it. And then when I come back, I basically am an idiot. I forget a lot of things, like you said, like the part where the character has a bow now. I wrote that 6 months ago, and then 2 months ago I came back and wrote the other parts after I got over my burnout period. And like I said, just like yesterday I realized, oh, I gave her a bow. Oh, okay, well this whole like 10 pages I wrote here just doesn't count now. I just have to either change this or trash this. Okay. Yeah. So that's the one bad part. But yeah, I mean, I do love the world, but it's also, it kind of, you know, everything kind of revolves around it, and I get burned out if I focus on something too much. So if it does end, I'll at least take a little bit of a break. Like I said, I never say never. Like I said, the muse can start chirping again with all these great ideas. I do have a couple of nagging ideas here and there, thanks to the Kung Fu movies. Bastards. You know, so it's like they're kind of sitting up. I don't have any, you know, but I need a story to go with it, you know, because I don't want to take like something. Okay, well, I have this guy that's hard to kill. Like, you can't pierce his skin for this reason, that reason. But then what am I going to do with it? It's like,
right.
You know, so if I don't have a story I'm happy with, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to put it out there for everybody. I mean, I'll sit there, I'll just mull it over until I actually have a firm idea, or at least a somewhat firm idea of what I want to do, and then I'll see how it develops. Because you know, I'm not going to just put something out there just for the sake of putting out there. It's just that, I just don't like that.
Wow. Well, we are getting down to, oh, goodness, the phone. Getting down to a few minutes, but I do want to ask, we've answered the question of what we would like to do in your world. If you were able to be in any of your books, in any of the scenes or the adventures or whatnot, which would you like to be transported to and why? Can you set that scene up for us, your favorite scene out of any of the books?
Oh, man, that is a tough one. I've got the Sword of Flame just because it's 100% my world that I created. It's not like an Earth world or anything like that. And on that one, you know, I just have a huge fetish with dragons. So I would really either have to be a dragon or a minotaur. Just because I've always loved minotaurs. I just love the brute power of them. But also, being a dragon, it can basically live forever, and you have more magical ability in your big claw than most people have in their entire bodies. It's just so awesome. Yeah, so they're like,
right.
No one really messes with you for the most part. When you're fully grown, it's like almost like a giant dinosaur. No one's going to mess with a giant T-Rex, you know? So I kind of like both of those. I probably take both of those just for, you know, just those two different things. Like I said, the bestial, just the outright power of, like, say, one beast where no one's going to mess with it, and the other one where no one's going to mess with it because, well, it's next to impossible to kill these things. Why are you going to mess with them?
Right.
And they kind of, people just leave them alone. So each group kind of is left alone to do their own thing. I just kind of like that. Just, you know, just different reasons. Nothing I really need to hammer down.
Very cool. Well, what is one of your, out of your newest release, what is one of your favorite scenes, your favorite parts, and why?
I put a little excerpt of it up on Facebook the other day. It's actually King Vernico and Savar, so a psychopter from the first two books. And Vernico is ascended to be the king of Salavin, and Severus is his aide and his friend. And they're discussing the future of the kingdom. They said the one kingdom, Angor, they found out, wants to declare war on them. And they're talking about sending Princess Venata, King Ray Venata, in there to kind of just quell things down. But then the Cyclops also goes, well, why don't you marry her? You know, and the king, because he's just captain of the guard, and the princess in early books, they were in love, and she married him. And then her father and her were killed. They died, and he ascended the throne. And he was basically, he had a deal with being called the usurper king, you know, for not being a royal blood.
Right.
So he quelled that, and he's sitting there, well, you want to do this again? It's like, I'm still being called the usurper king. We just quelled this. We do that whenever civil war. But, well, it's not the first time marriage has been done. Two people have been married to bring two kings together. He's like, are you mad? Yeah, I just love that exchange because, like, for me, it's like, because he's like the weight of the crown. Like I said, he's gone gray early. I mean, just the weight, you know, dealing with half the kingdom, not liking him, trying to rebel. Because he's considered a usurper king, and then his closest ally saying like, "Well, why don't you marry someone?" Like, I married into this crap, and you want me to do it again? you know, I've kind of, like, I just love that scene. Yeah, just until, like, he's like, well, I'm like, are you mad? I was like, well.
I love it. I love it. Fascinating. So tomorrow they can find, because we are actually running out of time, so where can they find it tomorrow, and how can they connect with you, all of those that are listening?
Well, the book will be available on Amazon.com. I hope to have it up in Smashwords the next couple of days. They can find me on my website, cpbialois.wordpress.com. Everything's basically linked on there. I will have the book posted either tomorrow or the next day for a quick link to Amazon. And, yeah, it's pretty much everything's linked through there. Just, you know, or just Google my name, I'm the only one in existence.
How about, can you think of one of your favorite quotes? Because, you know, what I love about a book, and especially I think readers that, you know, are crazy about a series, they know it word for word, or there's a little saying that they know, and they'll hear and they're like, yes, that's whatever it is. I mean, is there a little saying or a little quote that you think that, you know, you wouldn't mind sharing? So, like, we hear it, we're like, yeah. Yes, that's it.
I never think of the quotes. The best one I can think of for the whole series, I look at the overall quote. You know, it's like, I'm trying to remember offhand. It's like, you know, like, in order to succeed in life, a fire must, sword must be forged, or something along those lines. I honestly cannot think of it offhand.
That is all. That just really came into my mind because I was just thinking about your worlds, and I was thinking that, you know, that is just really cool. And I think about the stories that I follow, and I always think of a certain, like, you know, line, and I'll recognize it, and I'm thinking, yeah, I know that book. So, but very, very, very cool. So, guys, make sure you go join, check that out. Now, Jamie, thank you so much for hanging out. Where can everybody touch base with you?
I have everything linked on my website, jamielwhite.com, JamieLwhite.
So, CP, seriously, you're going to let us know what you're trying to get Jamie to do? Because I'm over here worried. Is it messing with my book boyfriend?
Well, it's probably going to get me blocked on social media, but since she said she's running up now, she's not going to follow through on this. My whole intention and my idea is Courtney's twin seduces, you know, Santiago and the false pretense, but he thinks she's Courtney. She becomes, you know, this is my idea. And then when he finds out about it, she manages to turn him against Courtney, but he would actually kill Courtney then.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so that's one that's my newest one. My previous one was actually where, like I said, like the little rhyme. Where, again, where Courtney ends up being pregnant, but when Santiago is killed, at the end she ends up taking her daughter to be protected like she originally was by her parents. She drops off someplace for her child to be safe, but then she's killed. So, like, the cycle starts again. That was my older idea. She's squaring up and that she's not doing either one of them. But, yeah, it's basically like, yeah, basically Courtney's sister will, you know, will do something that, you know, either by accident or something. Like, either someone's trying to kill...
You know, you're not helping me with Michelle's paranoia with scenes between them now. You're not helping me with this, CP.
I was supposed to help you?
Seriously, he just spoke all the fears. You know what I mean? He just said all of that. Okay, breathe.
Now see, Michelle's going to have, like, nightmares tonight.
Nightmares.
And every time she opens up a chapter now, she's going to be, like, hyperventilating.
No, so, you don't have to worry, Michelle. Like, she's sworn up and down she's not going to do that. She's not going to take those ideas. You know, as other ones pop up, I do throw them at her. She's like, oh, my God, no. You know, because, like I said, I keep trying to get the twin involved. You know, it's like, do this, do that. Like, even mistaking that day, like, someone's going to try to kill Courtney, but end up killing, you know, or kill the twin, end up killing Courtney or whatever. Just some kind of mistaken identity, you know, but she's not going for any of those ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew, that hurt. I mean, I think I felt physical pain.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
You also call me evil all the time. What's your point? I have a reputation, apparently. I'm considered evil.
Michelle, you better be appreciating me, like, so bad.
I am.
Like,
I mean,
you better be, like, kneeling down and, like, praying, like,
like, dear God,
to me, like, you know, that I'm, like, actually not doing all this.
I know it. And see, I mean, because, I mean, CP has done it, I followed his horror one, and he did that, and I can't say what it is.
And if I did any of those things, I know you'd be coming to, like, find me, so, yeah, don't worry.
I'm like, what's happening with the show now? But really quick before we go, hey, CP, are you doing another horror series, or...
I do actually have a quick brief overview of a continuing Winter Creek series. You know, the first one, Winter Creek Trilogy, next one will be the Winter Creek Circus. Basically, the circus would come to town. And actually, I haven't broken up what the overall lie would be for each book, each of the three books. I haven't gone more than that yet, because right now, the Sword of Flame is kind of my focus. I said, once I get these written, okay, well, then I'll see what happens next. This is really, like, my focus at the moment. You know, so it's like, but I might dabble it here and there, because right now, I want to get that done. I want to work on the Titanic, you know, thriller I wrote and a couple others. So I'm like, it's on there, but yeah, I haven't gone past the overall the first planning stages yet.
Okay, very cool. Definitely. Well, you know what I'm excited about is because there are five, you know, all these, I love big, juicy books, and I love it when I come to a series and I know I've got more, you know. I'm, you know, they're not, you know, stingy like someone I know. So, you know, I know I'm definitely, because I know I read the first one, definitely going to start following your fantasy series as well, because I love your horror. So I want to, because I know within a couple of weeks we're doing, you know, winter break, and I love to just curl up and read. So I definitely want to check them out, because your world is fascinating, and I remember enjoying the first one, so I definitely want to do that. So, but I feel bad because now I'll be harassing you. I'll be like, CP, what's happening? No,
hey,
don't do it.
You know what? With all the stuff he's trying to, like, get me to throw in there and all the trouble he's trying to get me into, I will gladly, you know,
okay,
let you, like...
You're like, okay, yeah, you deal with her for a while.
Yeah, I will gladly let you harass him a little bit for a while, yes.
You deal with it. You deal with the psychosis there. All right.
Exactly.
Well, happy new release day. But no, I do. I mean, I love it when I know I've got so many, and it's, and you know, before me, so that is very cool. So everyone, make sure you go out and connect with Author CP Bell Lois. And, you know, just connect with Jamie as well. Pick up their books. Follow them. They're awesome fun. And you will not be disappointed. So very cool. And you know, guys, the holidays are coming up. So these are some awesome. Tell them, you know, some of the series. You've got two. So, you know, maybe just mention some of the series that you've got going, CP and Jamie as well.
I have the Winter Creek trilogy. That's based off of Native American folklore, skinwalkers, involved werewolves, Bigfoot, you know, Wampus beasts, lizard monsters.
Right.
Then I have the Sword and Flame, the epic fantasy series. It's basically a pair of coming of age stories.
Love it. And Jamie?
I have my Stains trilogy, which is it's about a girl who has these nightmares of somebody burning at the stake, and then she finds out it was actually her in a previous life, and that things from that life are coming back, and they keep haunting her through all her incarnations, and now she has to try and finally resolve things. Other one is the Lightworker series that Michelle's been reading. And
yes.
I love, and really for me, it kind of all comes down to a line that CP came up with. Finding out your family tree is not supposed to turn into a fight for survival.
I love that. See, that's what I was saying. I love that. I do. And see, CP, he can do this. It's awesome. But I'm a little hurt because CP over there plotting, and so I don't even know what
I know.
I'm feeling anymore.
I know.
But,
yeah, I thought it was every book boyfriend, so it's
All right. Well, guys, make sure you go out and put these on your Christmas list and give them to your fantasy lovers, your paranormal lovers. It's that time of the year, and you will not be disappointed. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We just enjoyed chatting. CP, thank you. Thank you for coming. It was a very cool surprise. It was very cool to have you. So thank you for stopping
by. My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
And Jamie, thanks for hanging out as always. Had so much fun.
No
so.
Problem.
Awesome. All right, guys, you have a wonderful weekend. All right, and why? Because you deserve it. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.